Could you open your scriptures, please, to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 39, and we'll begin with verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 39 and verse 11. Now, we remember in the last teaching we saw that finally Jerusalem fell. Jeremiah had been predicting this for a long time, virtually 40 years. But then the reality came, and we saw back in verse 8, at the end of verse 8, and it says the Babylonians broke down the walls of Jerusalem. That was in 586 BC, and there has not been a king on the throne of David since that time. Zedekiah was the last king, and there will not be a king until Jesus reigns here after the second coming. We have heard of Herod that was there at the time of the first coming, but he was really put in there by Rome, and he was never recognized as being the true king in any way over the Jews. He wasn't even a Jew himself. He was a half-Jew, Herod was. So at any rate, in Jeremiah chapter 39 and verse 11, and it says, now Nebuchadrezzar. Now, that's the same name as Nebuchadnezzar. It's just a variant spelling, and why there's a different spelling, I'm not quite sure, but at least this refers to Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. So therefore, rather than using the different pronunciation, we'll just say Nebuchadnezzar, as we always have. So it says, now Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, gave charge concerning Jeremiah to Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, saying, take him and look well to him, and do him no harm, but do unto him even as he shall say unto thee. So in other words, Jeremiah had been saying for a long time, surrender to the Babylonians and you'll be okay, but don't fight. But they resisted what he had to say. They were resisting the Lord. And apparently even Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, heard about that. And so therefore, he said, I don't want any harm to come to Jeremiah. And in fact, he says, do unto him even as he shall say unto thee. That means give him anything that he would want. So Jeremiah could have become rich and powerful if he had so desired. The king would have given him anything, I guess. So it says in verse 13, so Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, sent, and Shashban and these other fellows, and all the king of Babylon's princes, even they sent and took Jeremiah out of the court of the prison and committed him unto Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, son of Shaphan, that he should carry, in other words, take him home. So he dwelt among the people, or he dwelt among his people. Now this fellow Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, here in verse 14, is a good man. Ahikam is the man that back in Jeremiah chapter 26, we don't need to go there, but he saved Jeremiah from being probably killed by a mob. And Jeremiah was saying things that the people didn't like, and so therefore the mob was about to kill him. And this man, Gedaliah's father, Ahikam, saved Jeremiah's life. So therefore, Gedaliah, in all probability, as we see later on, he's a good man. So this is good news, finally, for Jeremiah. Then it says in verse 15, now the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah while he was shut up in the court of the prison, saying, so therefore this is a little bit of a flashback, and it's like, by the way, something happened. The Lord spoke to him while he was still in prison. And he says, go and speak to Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Now remember, this fellow we saw back in Jeremiah chapter 38, and he's the one that got Jeremiah out of the dungeon. Jeremiah would have died in the dungeon had it not been for this fellow here in verse 16, Ebed-Melech. So the Lord, in his goodness, remembers him, and he says, behold, in the middle of verse 16, he says, I will bring my words upon this city for evil and not for good, and they shall be accomplished in that day before thee. But I will deliver thee in that day, saith the Lord, and thou shalt not be given into the hand of the men of whom thou art afraid. For I will surely deliver thee, and thou shalt not fall by the sword, but thy life shall be for a prize unto thee. And here's the reason, because thou hast put thy trust in me, saith the Lord. So the Lord saw that this man was doing good to Jeremiah, and he also saw that Ebed-Melech was putting his faith in him, the Lord, and so therefore he gave him a reward. One of the little points that we might mention here is the fact that it's a high form of praise to another person when you trust them. See, there's a lot of conversations you have with people, there's a lot of acquaintances that we have, But to actually get to a position where you trust someone, let's say even trust them with your life, that's a high form of trust. And so therefore, when things look really bad and people still trust in the Lord, it's a way of honoring the Lord. And he said, I'm going to spare your life, Ebed-Melech, because not only were you good to Jeremiah, but also you put your trust in me. So that's a lesson for us today. Then chapter 40 and verse 1, and says, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord after Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had let him go from Ramah, when he had taken him, being bound in chains among all who were carried away captive of Jerusalem and Judah, who were carried away captive unto Babylon. And it says, and the captain of the guard took Jeremiah and said unto him, the Lord thy God hath pronounced this evil upon this place. He said, look, he says, we didn't do it. This is a terrible thing that's happened. But he says, it's the Lord that has really caused this. Verse 3, now the Lord hath brought it and done according as he hath said, because you, that would be you Jews, have sinned against the Lord and have not obeyed his voice. Therefore this thing has come upon you. So in other words, he's saying, well, you know, we're not really responsible for the terrible slaughter that's taken place because, you know, when he says you, he really means the Jews, not so much, obviously, Jeremiah. And then he says, Jeremiah had been brought in chains, and he says, and now, behold, I loose thee this day from the chains which were upon thine hand. So in other words, he's obedient, and he obeys King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. So he releases Jeremiah. And then he says, if it seem good unto thee to come with me into Babylon, come, and I will look after thee well. He says, I'll take real good care of you, because the king has said, whatever you want is yours. That's the concept. He says, but if it seem ill unto thee to come with me into Babylon, forbear. He says, that's okay. Behold, all the land is before thee. Wherever it seems good and convenient for thee to go, there go. So he says, look, you can go anywhere you want, and you'll be under the protection of the Babylonians. Now, it says, now while he was not yet gone back, he said, go back also to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, whom the king of Babylon hath made governor over the cities of Judah, and dwell with him among the people, or go wherever it seems convenient unto thee to go. So the captain of the guard gave him, Jeremiah, victuals, that would be food, and a reward, in other words, a gift, and let him go. Now, the interesting thing here that we wanted to point out is the fact that Jeremiah was one who really was always giving bad news to the people, which they didn't like to hear, but yet, throughout all this, he still loved the people. And if he didn't love them, he wouldn't have stayed with them. He would have taken some big reward and gone to Babylon and been a very wealthy man in Babylon. So we have to remember that sometimes before we ever criticize some person or a group, we really have to make sure that genuinely deep down inside, we love them. There's no question Jeremiah was a patriot. He loved his country, but he had things to say that God told him to say that they didn't want to hear. He knew they were, Jeremiah knew his people were evil, but he still loved them, just like us, just like we people with children. They may not be doing the right thing, but we still love them because they are our children. All right, so then it says in verse 6, so Jeremiah chapter 40 and verse 6, so it says, then went Jeremiah unto Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, to Mizpah, and dwelt with him among the people that were left in the land. So there's kind of good news. This Gedaliah is a good man, and he is made governor by Nebuchadnezzar. Now, when all the captains of the forces, this would be the guerrilla forces who were in the fields, even they and their men, heard that the king of Babylon had made Gedaliah the son of Ahikam governor in the land, and had committed unto him men, women, and children, and of the poor of the land, of them that were not carried away captive to Babylon, then came Gedaliah to Mizpah, even Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and Johanan, and Jonathan, the sons of Kareah, and all these other people, they and their men. Now, the thing we might point out here is that it is an individual coming by the name of Ishmael. Ishmael. There at the beginning of verse 8, and he is going to turn out to be an evil person. And then verse 9 says, and Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, swore unto them and to their men, saying, fear not to serve the Chaldeans. He says, don't, he said, there were guerrilla forces. He says, don't fear, don't worry about surrendering to the Chaldeans. Dwell in the land and serve the king of Babylon, and it shall be well with you. In other words, if you just will not fight him and you are willing to serve him, and you can still stay in the land, and you will not be killed, and you won't even be carried away captive. And verse 10, he says, as for me, behold, I will dwell at Mizpah to serve the Chaldeans, who will come unto us. And that means they're going to supervise us. They're going to have the administration. So therefore, they'll be checking on me to see what type of a job I do as a governor. And he says, but you gather wine and summer fruits and oil and put them in your vessels and dwell in your cities that you have taken. He says, likewise, when all the Jews that were in Moab and among the Ammonites and in Edom and that were in all the countries heard that the king of Babylon had left a remnant of Judah and that he had set over them Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, even all the Jews returned out of all places where they were driven and came to the land of Judah to Gedaliah unto Mizpah and gathered wine and summer fruits very much. So in other words, there are people that kind of came out of the bushes, as it were. They were in, you know, scattered groups, but they were not actually in the city of Jerusalem when it fell. So they realized that there was safety if they came to Gedaliah, and he must have been known as a good man. And then it says, moreover, Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces that were in the fields came to Gedaliah to Mizpah and said unto him, dost thou certainly know? Now they're going to try to warn Gedaliah that there's a plot against his life. So they said, dost thou certainly know that Baalis, the king of the Ammonites, now Ammonites are always enemies of Israel. They would be living today in present-day Jordan. So it says, the king of the Ammonites hath sent Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, to slay thee. He says, are you aware of the fact that this man has been sent to kill you? But Gedaliah couldn't believe it. But he says, but Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, believed them not. Then Johanan, the son of Kareah, spoke to Gedaliah and Mizpah secretly, kind of called him aside, saying, let me go, I pray thee, and I will slay Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and no man shall know it. Why should he slay thee, that all the Jews who are gathered unto thee should be scattered, and the remnant in Judah perish? Now, Gedaliah was a nice man, but he was kind of trusting, too much so. And it says, but Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, said unto Johanan, the son of Kareah, thou shalt not do this thing, for thou speakest falsely concerning Ishmael. He says, well, Ishmael, he seemed like a very nice man, that sort of thing. So then in chapter 41, it says, now it came to pass in the seventh month. Now that means 3 months had elapsed. See, if you go back one page to Jeremiah chapter 39 and verse 2, it says, and in the 11th year of Zedekiah, he was the king of Judah, in the fourth month. All right, now here we are in the seventh month, so therefore only 3 months have gone by. So 41:1 again now. And it came to pass in the seventh month that Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Elishama, of the seed royal, or the royal seed, and one of the princes of the king, even 10 men with him, came unto Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, to Mizpah, and there they did eat bread together in Mizpah. Now, this is really going to be treachery, because to lift up your heel, in other words, to, you know, slay someone, to go against someone that you've eaten bread with, was the height of Oriental discourtesy. Not everyone is invited to your table, only those that you trust. And so therefore they did eat bread together in Mizpah. Verse 2, then arose Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and the 10 men that were with him, and smote Gedaliah. So they killed him right after dinner. So they smote Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, with the sword, and slew him, whom the king of Babylon had made governor over the land. So he didn't have too much... Gedaliah, unfortunately, didn't have too much discernment or discerning of spirits at all. And then verse 3 says, Ishmael also slew all the Jews that were with him, even with Gedaliah at Mizpah. And guess what he did? This fellow is reading something else, and he says, and he slew it, and he says, also, and the Chaldeans. So he started killing Babylonians that were found there, and the men of war, and he also killed some of the soldiers that were around there. So in other words, some of the statesmen and also soldiers. So this fellow is really something. And then verse 4 says, and it came to pass the second day after he had slain Gedaliah, and no man knew it, that there came certain men from Shechem, from Shiloh, and from Samaria, even 80 men, that would be 80 men, having their beards shaved and their clothes torn, and having cut themselves with offerings and incense in their hand to bring them to the house of the Lord. So they were broken over the fact that the worst thing that could be imagined had occurred, and that is Jerusalem had fallen. And so therefore they were all upset, and they were coming down to this area. And Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, went forth from Mizpah to meet them, weeping all along as he went. Well, these must have been crocodile tears. And it came to pass, as he met them, he said unto them, come to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam. In other words, I guess the concept here is, you know, come and see what's happened to him. Or maybe he might have meant just come and see him. I'm not sure which. But then in verse 7 it says, and it was so when they came into the center of the city, that Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, slew them. So he takes on all 80 of them and cast them into the middle of the pit, he and the men that were with him. Now you may wonder, well, how can 10 do that to 80? But again, it depends on their physical condition, whether they're warriors and whether they take them by ambush and all that sort of thing. So he does some more killing. Verse 8, but 10 men were found among them that said unto Ishmael, slay us not, for we have stores in the field of wheat and of barley and of oil and of honey. And so therefore it says, so he forbore and slew them not among their brethren. They said, look, we got some supplies. If you kill us, you're never going to be able to get the food and the things that we have. So he spared their lives. In verse 9, now the pit in which Ishmael had cast all the dead bodies of the men whom he had slain because of Gedaliah was that which Asa the king had made for fear of Baasha, king of Israel. And Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, filled it with those who were slain. So it goes back in Hebrew history. Then Ishmael carried away captive all the residue of the people that were in Mizpah, even the king's daughters, and all the people that remained in Mizpah, whom Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had committed to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam. And Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, carried them away captive and departed to go over to the so in other words, he was heading down the valley, down east, down to the Jordan River, and then once he crossed the Jordan River, he would be in the area of Ammon, where the Ammonites were, and this would be in present-day Jordan. But when Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces that were with him heard of all the evil that Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, had done, then they took all the men and went to fight with Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and found him by the great waters that are in Gibeon. Now it came to pass that when all the people who were with Ishmael saw Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces that were with him, then they were glad. You bet they were, life they were glad, because reinforcements were coming and they were going to get released. So all the people that Ishmael had carried away captive from Mizpah turned about and came back and went unto Johanan, the son of Kareah. And then here's a strange thing. And it says, but Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, escaped. He got away. He got away from Johanan with 8 men and went to the Ammonites. So I guess in the confusion of the people all running back, he says, let's get out of here. And he fled away, and they didn't catch him. Then it says in verse 16, then took Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces that were with him, all the remnant of the people whom he had recovered from Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, from Mizpah, after he had slain Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, even mighty men of war, and the women and the children, and the eunuchs whom he had brought again from Gibeon. And they departed and dwelt in the habitation of Chimham, which is by Bethlehem, to go to enter into Egypt. So they said, look, there's been a lot of things going wrong here, and the man that the king of the Babylonians had appointed governor is dead. It'd be a wise thing if we exit, and there shall be safety if we go down to Egypt. So that was their plan. Verse 18, because of this, so he says, we're going to enter into Egypt because of the Chaldeans, for they were afraid of them, because Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, had slain Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, whom the king of Babylon made governor in the land. 42, then it says, then all the captains of the forces and Johanan, the son of Kareah, and Jezaniah, the son of Hashaiah, and all the people from the least even unto the greatest came near and said unto Jeremiah, ha-ha. So there's a little bit of a crisis here. So they figure, well, we'll talk to a man of God. So they're going to come and talk things over with Jeremiah. So they said unto Jeremiah the prophet, let we beseech thee our supplication be accepted before thee, and pray for us unto the Lord thy God. It's interesting here in this sense, you pray to the Lord your God. At least in this instance, they didn't say, let's pray to our God. So they said, let us pray unto the Lord thy God, even for all this remnant, for we are left but a few of many, as thine eyes do behold us. In other words, we're just a tiny remnant of what was left of the nation and so forth. And he says, that the Lord thy God may show us the way in which we may walk, and the thing that we may do. So in other words, they were saying, Jeremiah, we want instructions. Then Jeremiah the prophet said unto them, I have heard you. Behold, I will pray unto the Lord your God according to your words. And it shall come to pass that whatsoever thing the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it unto you. I will keep nothing back from you. He says, okay. He says, I'll go and I'll inquire of the Lord. So then said they to Jeremiah, the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us, if we do not even according to all the things which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us. Whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God. Now there they said, our God, to whom we send thee, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. So they said, okay, whatever news you get, we are going to be obedient. We're going to do whatever the Lord tells us. So Jeremiah seeks the Lord. This is kind of interesting now, as Jeremiah sought the Lord. You know, we want an answer from the Lord like fast, like now, Lord, I want a reply. But here it says, and it came to pass after 10 days that the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. So therefore he was seeking the Lord apparently for 10 days. And then the Lord responded. So it says, and it came to pass after 10 days that the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. Then called he Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces who were with him, and all the people from the least even unto the greatest, and said unto them, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, unto whom ye sent me to present your supplication before him. Okay, now here's the word from the Lord. And it wasn't what they wanted to hear. Because you see, underneath it all, they didn't trust God really to protect them. And they wanted to, as it were in our language, they wanted to get out of town fast. And they wanted to go what they thought was going to be to Egypt, a place of safety. But the Lord says, no, you trust in me and I'm going to protect you. But watch how it goes now. So verse 10, so the Lord says, now speaking through Jeremiah, if you will still abide in this land, that is, if you'll stay in Judah, then will I build you and not pull you down, and I will plant you and not pluck you up. For I repent of the evil that I have done unto you. Now repent means, in other words, doesn't mean that the Lord has changed his mind, but the Lord says, I'm going to cease really from having any further punishment inflicted upon you if you'll obey me and stay here. Verse 11, he says, be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom you are afraid. Be not afraid of him, saith the Lord, for I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand. See, now, that reminds me of what Jesus said in the New Testament when he was talking to people about fear. He says, don't fear man, fear him that has power to cast both body and soul into hell. See, people are always afraid of man, but the real fear that they should have is a fear of God. So Jeremiah said this in the Old Testament. So he says, you know, again, verse 11, be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom you are afraid. Be not afraid of him, saith the Lord, for I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand. And I will show mercies unto you, that he may have mercy upon you and cause you to return to your own land. And as I would assume, to your own properties, that sort of a thing. So he says, I'm going to control the heart of the king so that you find favor. The Lord said that. I'm going to do it. And then verse 13, but if you say, we will not dwell in this land, neither obey the voice of the Lord your God, saying, no, but we will go into the land of Egypt, where we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor have hunger for bread, and there will we dwell. And now, therefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye remnant of Judah. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, if you wholly set your faces to enter into Egypt and go to sojourn there, now here's the consequences if you disobey, then it shall come to pass that the sword which you feared shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt. Notice you're going to flee there for safety, but there's where you're going to get it, in Egypt. So again, then it shall come to pass, verse 16, that the sword which you feared shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt, and the famine of which you were afraid shall follow close after you there in Egypt, and there you shall die. So shall it be with all the men that set their faces to go into Egypt to sojourn there. They shall be by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, and none of them shall remain or escape from the evil that I will bring upon them. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as mine anger and my fury have been poured forth upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so shall my fury be poured forth upon you when you shall enter into Egypt, and you shall be an execration. That would mean kind of like an object of disgust, and a horror, and a curse, and a reproach, and you shall see this place no more. So the Lord made it very, very clear through Jeremiah that he wanted to have them to stay there. He did not want them to go to Egypt. He says, I'll give you favor with the king if you stay here, but if you go to Egypt, you're going to get wiped out. And verse 19 says, the Lord has said concerning you, O ye remnant of Judah, go ye not into Egypt. Know certainly that I have admonished you this day. Now Jeremiah says, now look at it. He says, I want it made clear. He says, I have delivered to you the message from the Lord. The Lord says, you are not to go to Egypt. So Jeremiah says, my hands are clean. Now, but the Lord knows their, and Jeremiah too knows their hearts, and he says, for you dissembled in your hearts. In other words, you are deceitful. So apparently when Jeremiah had the conversation with the Lord, they just wanted him to do that to kind of salve their own consciences and do what they really wanted. See, sometimes that happens to us too. See, they really wanted to go to Egypt, and they just wanted to have, you know, God agree, as it were, with their plans. Sometimes we want to do something so much, you know, we don't want to go to, say, some objective person to get confirmation of what we want to do. We'll go to someone that we know ahead of time will agree with us, and we'll say, you know, you agree that it's a good thing for me to do this, and the person, oh, yes, of course. But we're not honestly seeking the Lord. And so, therefore, the Lord had revealed to Jeremiah that their hearts were not right. So he says in verse 20, for you dissembled in your hearts, and as you were deceitful in your hearts when you sent me unto the Lord your God, saying, pray for us unto the Lord our God, and according unto all that the Lord our God shall say, so declare unto us, and we will do it. And now I have this day declared it unto you, but you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God, nor anything for which he has sent me unto you. Now, therefore, he's saying, I know that you're going to go to Egypt independent of anything that I say. And he says, now, therefore, know certainly that you shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence in the place where you desire to go and to sojourn. So now you might say, what's really going on there? Well, what's going on there is really the situation that the Lord wants to have a personal relationship with these individuals that are left of Judah, just like he wants to have a personal relationship with you and with me. And he says, I'll protect you. But they said, but we're probably going to die here. We'll go to the pagan land of Egypt, and there we'll be safe. And so Jeremiah says, no, you're not going to be safe when you go there. Now, you know, it's kind of we might close with this, kind of an application in our lives, and that is, the Lord, for example, tells us in Philippians chapter 4, there's going to be problems in life. There are going to be financial problems, physical problems, social problems, emotional problems. But he says, look, be anxious for nothing. See, don't be anxious about anything. You know, and it says in 1 Peter 5, 7, cast all your cares upon him, that is the Lord, because he cares for you. And the thing is, when you have that close relationship with the Lord, you actually can walk through the fire and you're not burned, because you know the Lord is true. And even though there seem to be many problems, you know that you know in your heart, because you have a relationship with him, that everything is going to be okay. Praise the Lord. Okay, do you want to stand, please? And we'll reconsecrate our lives to the Lord, and we'll begin here again next time. So let's have a prayer for a moment here. And if there's anyone that's listening on the tape that desires to commit their lives to Jesus Christ, they may do so. So say this after me. Dear Jesus, I need you. I open the door of my life. And I receive you as my Savior and my Lord. Thank you for forgiving my sins.
Thank you for forgiving my sins.
You take control of the throne of my life.
You take control of the throne of my life.
And make me the kind of person,
that you want me to be.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.